Audio services provided by Planet Chiropractic. www.planetchiropractic.com.
Just to get started here, I've heard something in chiropractic ever since I was when I was at Palmer. I was the ICA's student president, and even back then, I had heard people say that we have to build bridges in chiropractic. The chiropractic wasn't what it was in 1895, so we had to start building bridges to medicine. And to me, that never made any sense because I kept thinking, well, if medicine really, you know, wanted to get rid of us, they would just say, well, we do adjustments and chiropractors are quacks and get rid of them. They don't really want to work with us in any way, shape, or form. And into just the last week, I've noticed that my innate feeling that we don't need to build bridges, we need to build walls and strengthen chiropractic is truer than ever. A simple example is I was chosen to be a supervising doctor for LAC, Southern California College of Health Sciences or whatever. Well, before it was LACC, and I figured I'd help some chiropractors, you know, learn chiropractic. And so I offered to do the program, and I went through the whole credentialing process until actually a student wanted to come to my office and learn something about chiropractic. And they told me that because I had a particular insurance company that had me have everybody sign a terms of acceptance that I only adjust subluxations, that I don't treat or diagnose any condition other than subluxation, that they didn't want the students to come see me any longer. So I was thinking, even in our own profession, they don't want to build bridges with us. They want to lock us out of things, you know. And just after that, that was like 2 days ago, a local MD told one of my patients that she shouldn't come see me, even though I had helped her. And so she came to us and said, hey, guess what he told us, you know, what should I do? I said, well, you need to come in here instead and just stick with us. Don't even bother with that. So all around, I'm seeing that people think things are changing. And really, things are just the same. You know, and there's nothing new under the sun. Things are always going to be as they were, especially when you talk about things that have to do with principle. And so that old adage that we have to build bridges, I really believe is just a meaning for some politicians in chiropractic to line their pockets with HMOs and all this other stuff. It really has nothing to do with principle or patience or caring or healing or God. And really, that's what my practice is all about. I've always realized that in my practice, people get well because God heals them. I don't heal them. It's been really apparent to me lately. I was asked to speak a while ago, and I was asked to actually mention some of that stuff this time again. And the reason I talk about building walls, I got the concept from reading the book of Nehemiah. It's in the Old Testament, where there was Nehemiah was a prophet, and he was in the land of Persia, and there was a king there, and Nehemiah had been from Israel, and he was told that through a message that the walls, when Jerusalem was pillaged, that the walls had never been rebuilt. And in those times, if each kingdom did not have walls around them, they were seen as you know, just you could take them over any time you wanted. They were really insignificant. And so what happened was the God of Israel began to become mocked, not only among people on the outlying areas, but even people inside the city began to mock their own God. They were saying, where is the strength of our God? And Nehemiah heard about this, and he said, you know, this is not right. Every city has these strong, powerful walls, and our people over there should have those same walls. And he began to weep over this, and he developed a burden in his heart because he really knew that in order to get his people their confidence, their ability to defend themselves, getting rid of their fears, he knew he had to help them rebuild those walls in which he didn't even live. So what he decided to do was to go to the king of Persia and ask him if he could go and lead these people in rebuilding their walls. Now think about this. He's going to ask a Persian king if he can go back to Israel, which they've already destroyed, help them rebuild their walls. And, hey, honey. And, you know, it's amazing that he did this. And they said he actually risked death by doing this, by bringing bad news to a Persian king. He actually risked being executed. But he did it. And God was with him, and he took him to the land. And within a certain amount of time, he went there and he told the people his vision to rebuild the walls, to strengthen the people again. And within a very small period of time, he began having a crew of people that they began doing this building. And long story short, in 52 days, the entire walls of Jerusalem and Israel were rebuilt. And they said at certain times, what they had to do were, there were men that were that had swords, and some men were actually building with their swords in hand. Other men, they would actually guard the other men that were working. And even when they would take a bath, they would not ungird themselves with their sword. And the reason for that was because they knew people that knew they wanted to build up were going to come and break them down. Now, how many times in chiropractic, when we try to build people up, do we hear other people breaking them down? We hear spouses saying, "Oh, you don't need to go there. They're not going to do anything for you." We have MDs telling them, "Don't go there." We have college presidents making rules to officials saying, "Don't even go work with that chiropractor because he doesn't treat or diagnose." So when I look at the whole story here was, in Nehemiah's times, he rebuilt the walls, the people gained strength again, and they were once again a solid, sovereign nation. And God had blessed those people for that, especially for their commitment. Now, in chiropractic, if we look today, how do our walls look? How do you see? I know there's a lot of students here. How do you see the walls of chiropractic? Many students here, a lot of stuff that we as practitioners in our practice every day, we're not privy to a lot of the information that goes through the schools. But I guarantee you, if we were to take a picture of the chiropractic walls today, I believe they'd be very graffitied. They'd be very tore down. There'd be certain sections where, you know, maybe there'd be a nice section, and then it would be just followed by a lousy section. It'd be like a ghetto. And my goal is to see the walls of chiropractic built up again to their rightful place. And that comes with each and every one of us. And how do we do that? Well, we do that by teaching people the principle. We do that by teaching people what's going on the other side. In fact, I took my son yesterday to see the new Star Wars movie. And Yoda said that the dark side clouds everything. And I believe that's very, very true. And so we tell people in our orientation every week about the dark side before we tell them about light and about life and about living. And so I want to go over a few of those things with you in just a moment. But just a few things here that I had read. There's a great author, John Maxwell, who he teaches a book called Developing the Leader Within You. And if you don't have it inside of you, it will never come out of you. No matter how you dress, what you think you're going to do, you've got to change on the inside. And especially if you're transferring from being a student to a doctor, you are already a doctor. You're already a chiropractor, and you need to believe that now. So the power of a burden, he was saying a few things here. Number one, a burden purifies your motives. Now, if your motive was to become a chiropractor, to make a lot of money, and pay your Lexus payment, well, you may have a hard time, but I know I have had a great time developing my practice, and number one is I know I've always had a burden to get the message out to people, to teach them that health comes from within, that drugs are not the answer, that surgery is not the answer, that they got to look inside first. And with that motive, and I know and I realize that every time I put my hands on somebody, every time I give the message to somebody that I'm serving God, that's better than any financial arrangement you could ever receive. But however, our office is still rewarded very greatly, and just by sticking to those principles. Number two is we found that a burden cultivates persistence. How many times will you tell that person the story if they don't get it? How many days, day in and day out, will you weather the storm of getting beat down by patients, by insurance companies, whatever it is that's beating you down? Sometimes it's your own family that they don't understand what you do. They don't understand your commitment. How long will you persist? See, I'm in this race to win. I'm in this race for the long haul. And I hope all of us are in that same position because we need tons of chiropractic warriors to get the message out there and to be consistent. Number three is a burden cements our convictions. And it's funny that I've heard someone say one time that, you know, if you're so worried about your educated getting in the way, then get educated and quit worrying about it. And I think that's very true, that often we're so worried about that educated stuff. Do we know what we know what we know? But once you know it, you get it out of the way, and then you can start serving people from that position. And then you have that inner deep conviction that whether it's statistics that drive you, that you need to know all the stats of something, then learn them. If it's knowing your techniques, and you know the devastating effects of a subluxation, then learn it. Whatever it is that cements your conviction. For me, it's reading my Bible and really understanding that I have a purpose, that each and every one of us was placed here with a purpose. And I believe my purpose, my calling, was to be a chiropractor. And so that's why I do this. That's why I'm going to do it the rest of my life. So, you know, If you want to get educated out of the way, just get educated. So this is what I teach in my orientation every week. Sharon was talking about doing orientations. I do them regularly. And what I do, first of all, because the dark side clouds everything, we got to talk about the dark side. And then when I'm done with that, then we're going to talk about life and light and letting the body heal. So some of the things I share with them are statistics. And when I do this, I actually have the references, the actual articles that I'll put up on my overhead so they can see what's going on. And I let them know that the real drug problem in America is pharmaceutical drugs, not the ones on the street. And I let them know that the number one killer, if you're between 1 and 35 years old, is drugs. It's the number two killer if you're between 35 and 54. It's the number six killer if you're 55 plus, only because they've caused all kinds of other problems in the first place that are just replacing. They're all drug-caused problems anyway. I let them know that 130,000 people die every year from properly prescribed prescription drugs. I let them know that 60 to 80,000 people die in hospitals due to poor procedures. I let them know that this is very underreported as well. I let them know that 16,500 people die of intestinal bleeding due to over-the-counter painkillers, which is the same number of people that die from HIV/AIDS every year. So we have a march for AIDS. Why don't we have a march against Tylenol, Advil, and Motrin and stop that stuff? You know, that's what's killing people. We could save 16,500 lives right now if we did that. 60 to 80,000 people die due to antibiotics because they're, you know, most of the stuff's viral. They don't get their immune system boosted. They actually kill their immune system and they die. 31,500 children have liver damage every year because they had a fever and their parents wanted to cool them down. Tylenol is also the leading reason for kidney failure with 200,000 cases every year. So once again, people that want to come to your office, they think they'll take Tylenol while they come see you. You can let them know that they're going to still be part of the statistic, that chiropractic's not going to save them from their Tylenol addiction. You know, you have to have them be totally committed to what they're doing with you. I always tell them, it doesn't make, you know, if they were seeing an orthopedist and they came and saw me, it's like, you know, it doesn't make any sense to keep taking the Vicodin and getting adjusted. It's like, how do you know what I'm doing is even helping? You're still cutting off the brain from the body. There's no communication there, and that's not a good thing. Then we get into aspirin. We tell them that, you know, taking one aspirin a day increases your risk of stroke by 84%. So whatever it may have done to supposedly stop heart attacks, you're most likely going to have a stroke. It's even worse. It's the number two killer of children every year. And then we get into Ritalin. We tell them about it's the same class as cocaine, morphine, and opium, that there's 6 million kids a day on Ritalin today. And within 2 years, they expect it to be 9 million people. That's scary. And there's also a risk of cancer when these children are taking Ritalin consistently. And then, of course, we all saw in Newsweek, there was right on the cover, the Columbine effect. Every one of these kids that's been involved in a shooting, you know, one of these tragedies that's been around the country, every single one of those kids was on some kind of mind-altering drug. Many of them were withdrawing off mind-altering drugs, and we wonder why they go out and kill their peer groups. Well, it's really easy. Take someone that's addicted to cocaine or crack. They could be the top CEO of a company, but if they start, you know, withdrawing, you can take a very rational person, at least you thought they were, and they'll go rob a bank. You know, drugs cut your brain off from any reality of what God would send down to you, any truth, any reality at all. So this is the kind of stuff that we share in our office every single day. And this is what it's funny, Sharon called it an affirmation when you do the orientation. And for me, it really is. If you're going to do it, I mean, most of the people, they're not going to remember half of these things after you tell them. But the best thing is, it's not what you're saying, it's how you say it. And if nothing else, every single week, I get to say my affirmations. Why I'm a chiropractor? Because people are dying. That's why I'm a chiropractor. And I want to restore life. And so it's a great way to reaffirm what you're doing. Now, getting back to this thing about a burden, I really looked at myself for a while and said, you know, is my heart really in the right place? Am I really doing what I'm supposed to be doing? Is my motive pure? And because, you know, everybody goes through ups and downs. Like Sharon had said, that sometimes you get level, you know, you get flatlined. And sometimes those are the worst things, you know. It's like you're not going anywhere at all, and you wonder if you're on the right track. And so it caused me to go back and reanalyze myself and see that, make sure my heart was in the right place. And so I started reading a book by John Maxwell. It was called The 21 Most Powerful Minutes in a Leader's Day. And every day before I'd go to the office, I'd read just one little excerpt from this book. just to work on myself. And when I got to this part, he actually talked about a burden in here. And it was perfect because it only took me about 2 weeks to get to that portion. So I knew that I had chose the right book. And he just said here that they found when people have a burden, they experience a particular emotion. And these were the questions he gave us. And you should try to answer these yourself and see if your heart's in the right place. First, he said, does a person or a project constantly come to your mind as a major concern? And for me, it was definitely, you know, my concern towards people. Number two, it was, do you seem unable to escape the needs of this concern? Is it always on your mind? Are you dreaming about it? Are you constantly trying to challenge others to be concerned for this project? Are you constantly getting out there telling the story, constantly re-enlisting people in your cause? Do you constantly migrate to books, he said sermons, or people that focus on your concern? And the answer was, once again, it was resoundingly yes. We have a focus group that we meet every week, and we talk about chiropractic, and we put our heads together, and we mastermind. So that was an awesome thing to see. Do you repeatedly give time and resources to meet this particular need? Absolutely. That's why we're here. Does your concern move you to the point of tears? Do you care so much about your community? Do you care so much about the people around you that it literally, if you understood what's going on in their lives, if you understood that subluxation can lead to abuse in a family, domestic abuse, if you understand subluxation can lead to crime, if you understand that subluxation can lead to death, and you understand that that's in your community, are you willing to get out there? Are you at the point of tears where you want to get out there and get the message to the people so they can understand how important it is that you as the chiropractor, you're the direct connection between them and internal peace? And do you have gifts and abilities to meet the needs associated with this concern? I believe every single person in this room, regardless if you have a DC after your name or not, you have a gift and ability to affect lives. And so, once again, the answer is yes. And does your concern increase or decrease with time? And I've noted, I've heard from several very well-known chiropractors that have had huge practices, that as time goes on, your concern increases, that there's more and more work to be done. You know, they say in the Bible that the harvest is plenty, but the workers are few. And I really believe that's true, that we need so many people to go out there and in one voice, in one resounding, you know, word, to be able to get out there and tell people that where they're looking for health is in the wrong direction and that it's right here in chiropractic. So I just want you to look at that and the burden of chiropractic, is it really in your heart? Is it really what you want to do? If not, get into other materials. The wonderful thing about it when you find you're into chiropractic is you can pick up any book, and that's why I say I read the Bible, I'll read other things. Every single thing to me is chiropractic. I can't look at it. I couldn't watch Star Wars yesterday without being a chiropractor, you know? And that's a wonderful thing. So I just thank everybody for having me here today, and I hope that this made a difference.